From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar. A Russian Su-24 bomber was downed over Syria Tuesday, with early reports conflicting about the cause. Russia's defense ministry had said that it presumed the plane was downed by ground fire, while Turkey's defense ministry claimed it was shot down by two Turkish fighter jets. Russia later confirmed that the plane had, in fact, been shot down by Turkey. Immediately after the incident, Russian presidential spokesperson Dmitry Peskov called the downing of the plane, quote, a very serious incident, close quote, adding, however, that it was too early to draw conclusions until more was known. Ankara claimed that it shot the plane down after it violated Turkish airspace, but Russia's military denied that the plane had violated Turkey's border and said the plane's location could be verified by objective monitoring data for its entire flight. The plane carried two pilots. Early reports in both Russian and Western media said that the pilots had parachuted safely from the plane and at first said their whereabouts were unknown. However, by midday Tuesday, reports came in that both Russian pilots were shot and killed by Turkish anti-government fighters in Syria as they parachuted from the plane. In response to the incident, Russia's foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov, canceled a visit to Turkey that was planned for Wednesday. Russia's president, Vladimir Putin, who was meeting in Moscow with Jordan's King Abdullah II, issued a statement.
This goes beyond the framework of the regular fight against terrorism. Certainly, military men are fighting terrorism, sacrificing their own lives. But today's loss is related with the stab in our back by the associates of terrorism
that has been given to us in our back by the accomplices of terrorists.
I cannot find another wording to what happened today. Our plane was shot down over the Syria, over the Syrian territory. The air-to-air missile came from F-16 Turkish warplane. It fell on the territory of Syria, 4 kilometers away from the Turkish border. It was at an altitude of 6,000 meters, 1 kilometer away from the Turkish border when it was hit. In any case, our pilots and our plane never threatened the Republic of Turkey in any way. This was an obvious fact. They conducted an operation to fight ISIS. It was in northern Latakia, that's a mountainous part, and that's where militants from Russia are located. And in that case, Russian pilots took preventive strikes against terrorists that could have come back to Russia at any moment.
Pursuing and carrying out their direct duty of making preventive attacks on those who might threaten Russia.
And these were the people who are considered, should be considered as international terrorists. We have long identified that there are a lot of oil and petrol products going to Turkey from the captured territories.
Oil and oil products being transferred, which were seized from the territory of Syria.
And certainly these military groups get their financing from. And now they stab us in the back, they hit our planes that are fighting terrorism.
For fighting against international terrorism.
And together with the US partners, we signed an agreement on to prevent incidents in the air. And Turkey also announced that they allegedly are fighting terrorism as part of the US-led coalition.
Agreement on deconflicting and preventing airplane clashes with the United States. And as we know, Turkey was among the ones who announced that it joined the US-led coalition in their fight against terrorism.
If ISIS have this amount of money, and it could be even billions of dollars due to the sales of oil,
resources which stood at the level of tens of hundreds of millions and even billions of dollars coming from illicit oil proceeds.
And plus, they have protection from the armed forces of a big state. Then now it's clear why they're so impertinent, why they kill people in the most barbarous, heinous ways. Why they conduct terrorist acts across many countries, including in the heart of Europe. Certainly, we will analyze what happened very seriously. And today's tragic event will have serious consequences for Russian-Turkish relations.
Significant consequences, including for relations between Russia and Turkey.
We have always treated Turkey not just a close neighbor, but to a friendly state.
As our close neighbor, but as our friendly state.
I don't know in whose interests today's incident is, but it's not in our interest. And instead of immediately establishing the necessary contact with us. As far as I'm aware of, the Turkish side contacted its NATO allies.
As far as we know, the Turkish side immediately turned to their partners from NATO
to discuss this incident. As if we downed a Turkish jet. Do they want NATO to serve the interests of ISIS? I do understand that every state have their own regional interests. And we have always respected those interests. But we will never allow to have crimes like this to happen, like the one that happened today. And certainly we hope that the international community will unite against a common evil. In this regard, we rely on the participation of all the countries in the region in this fight. And we're very happy to see you today. We will continue our work with your specialists, with security services and the defense ministry, as well as with agencies from the neighboring states. Thank you.
Tuesday morning, Army Colonel Steve Warren, a spokesperson for the U.S. military effort in Syria, was scheduled to brief reporters on operations against ISIS. He took questions about the shootdown of the Russian plane.
There were no U.S. personnel in the vicinity of this incident, so we did not observe it. You know, incidents like this, you know, with the Russians happen relatively rapidly, you know, incursion, contact, and then, you know, the actual incident itself. So there were no F-15s in the area, no American personnel in the area, no American equipment in the area. This was purely an action that took place between the Russians and the Turks.
Well, even though you weren't there, you did track it on your radars. You were able to observe through radar the Russian flight, and given that, do you believe, in fact, it was in Turkish airspace?
Well, certainly we have radars and other acquisition capabilities in place, and we are able to track all of the aircraft in those areas. We're still gathering all the facts and looking at all of the details. As you know, in some of these somewhat more remote regions and in a mountainous area and at 30,000 feet or whatever the altitude is, it's often difficult to know exactly where a border is. So I don't have a good answer for you yet. We're still kind of analyzing all of our data to determine exactly what we know. You know, often you look at a map on our overlays, you know, there'll be a line there to indicate, you know, here's where the border is. But, you know, the thickness of that line can make a difference, and of course does in this case. So the incident happened, you know, at the border. That much I can tell you. But beyond that, we're still trying to collect and sift through all the data.
Clear. You said you have an ability to track all aircraft in the region. So, in fact, correct that you tracked this Russian flight on your radars and would have also tracked the Turkish F-16s coming up. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. We've got situational awareness in the skies, you know, completely.
Steve, Jim Iklashevsky, you said that the U.S. didn't see the incident, but what did the U.S. hear? Did the Turks are claiming that they issued 10 warnings to the Russian aircraft within a five-minute period. Does the U.S. confirm that? You said at the border. It sounds like it could have been on either side of the border at any moment as it was flying through that narrow stretch of Turkey that descends down into Syria.
Again, relative locations of aircraft and things like that, we need a little time to work all of that out. So you just got to give us a little time to analyze these things. It's not, you know, these things aren't as clean as they are in the movies where you can kind of see where everything is. I mean, it's just data that has to be collected and sorted through so we know exact locations of things. So we need some time for that, but we just don't have it yet. It's just, it's simply not information that we have. On radio, right? I mean, so yeah, we were able to hear everything that was going on. Obviously, you know, these are on open channels. I'm sure there's others who've heard it all as well.
Can you confirm that there were 10 warnings issued by the Turkish pilots to the Russian pilots, and the Turks claim the Russians did not respond? Can you confirm that?
Yeah, I can confirm that. Yes.
Is the feeling of the U.S. military that the Russians were deliberately in Turkish airspace, or that they're, you know, routinely buzzing this area to search things up? And is this the third time that the Russian aircraft would have breached Turkish airspace, or has there been additional ones that have not been yet reported?
Unfortunately, I'm just not tracking at that level of detail. I'm really not. Again, let me go back to my earlier statement. This is Turkey and Russia. This is their incident. Our focus is on ISIL.
You mentioned that at 30,000 feet at this area, it's not always easy to know where you are. So are there any alternative procedures that could be used in an air incursion like this, such as, for instance, escorting a plane out of the airspace as opposed to taking the action of shooting it down?
Alternatives. There's a whole range of alternatives that are available to aircraft in the air. Escorting is one. There's a whole range of intercepting and things that can be done. But again, it's really, I mean, this is in you know, broadly speaking. Obviously, this is a matter. This is a decision that got made. It's really a matter for the Turks to talk about.
Based on what you saw on the radar, did the fighter come up from Latakia? And as you were watching it, Where in the region did this incident actually take place? Is it something where Syrian Kurds that the U.S. has worked with are known to be operating, or any of the members of the Syrian Arab Coalition? And if so, does the U.S. have any obligation to protect those ground forces if Russia returns for some sort of retaliatory strike?
You know, we've seen the Russians already strike forces that are, you know, moderate Syrian opposition forces. You know, we've seen them do this, and it goes, again, it flies directly in the face of what they said they would do, right? They have said that they're here to help fight ISIL, and in fact, they're here, you know, striking moderate Syrian opposition groups. We've made our position clear on our obligations to protect the groups that we've, you know, touched directly, the ones that we've trained, and that hasn't changed. But you know, there weren't any of our kind of partnered forces, the new Syrian forces, the 100 or so that we've trained and infilled back, are not where this all happened.
Additional specifics on where it happened and whether you watched the plane on radar come, where it came from, basically.
Well, yeah, of course, yeah, we know exactly where it came from. I mean, and the Russians, everyone I think has already announced that, right? It came out of Latakia or Latakia, and the incident happened in Hayte province.
Later Tuesday, U.S. President Barack Obama and French President Francois Hollande held a press conference at the White House where they were asked about the incident.
Well, first of all, we're still getting the details of what happened, and I expect to be in communications potentially directly with President Erdogan sometime over the next several days. Turkey, like every country, has a right to defend its territory and its airspace. I think it's very important right now for us to make sure that both the Russians and the Turks are talking to each other, find out exactly what happened, and take measures to discourage any kind of escalation. I do think that this points to a ongoing problem with the Russian operations, in the sense that they are operating very close to a Turkish border, and they are going after moderate opposition that are supported by not only Turkey but a wide range of countries. And if Russia is directing its energies towards Daesh and ISIL, some of those conflicts or potentials for mistakes or escalation are less likely to occur. I also think this underscores the importance of us making sure that we move this political track forward as quickly as possible. Like President Hollande, our view from the start has been that Russia is welcome to be part of this broad-based coalition that we've set up. There's never been a point in time in which we said that we don't want Russia or other countries that may have differences with us on a whole host of other things to avoid working with us against ISIL. The challenge has been Russia's focus on propping up Assad rather than focusing on ISIL. I had a conversation with President Putin in Turkey, and I indicated to him at the time that to the extent that they make that strategic shift, focus on the Vienna process, where they have been constructive to try to bring all the parties together, try to execute a political transition that all parties would agree to, and refocus attention on going after ISIL, then there's enormous capacity for us to cooperate. Until that happens, it's very difficult. It's difficult because if their priority is attacking the moderate opposition that might be future members of an inclusive Syrian government, Russia's not going to get the support of us or a range of other members of the coalition. But I do think that there is the possibility of cooperation. The sooner we agree to this political process, the less likely that you have, you know, the kinds of kinds of events that took place, apparently, today.
Oui, cet événement qui s'est produit est grave.
Et the event that took place is a serious one, and we can only regret it. Turkey is currently providing all of the information to NATO so that we can find out what truly happened and whether Turkey's airspace indeed was entered into. But we must prevent an escalation that would be extremely damageable. The only purpose is to fight against terrorism and Daesh. This is what we must do, all of us.
Nous,
we,
la Turquie,
Turkey,
la
Russia,
et ce qui vient de se produire, comme
and
Barak,
what just took place, like Barak said, means that we must find a solution to the Syrian crisis, because we can see what the risks are otherwise, the risks of escalation. I therefore will be traveling to Russia this week because we have this resolution of the Security Council, and it does show that we must take action against Daesh, against terrorism. That resolution has been voted unanimously in a way that was the broadest possible coalition. Then I will ask President Putin, as I've done before, when I told the Russians a number of times already, that the strikes must be against Daesh, against terrorism, and those who precisely are threatening us. They're threatening the Russians, like ourselves in Europe, like France. That was targeted over the past 2 days. We must therefore coordinate ourselves, cooperate, but on that basis, and make sure that we're all acting against Daesh and that we are part of a political process, one that must lead to the solution. And we all know what the parameters of the solution are or are not. We know that there is a deadlock today.
J'évoquais le porte-avions Charles de Gaulle qui est en ce moment en Méditerranée.
Lastly, I mentioned the Charles de Gaulle aircraft carrier, which is in the east of the Mediterranean. Now, as a matter of fact, there are also some Russian forces. And I therefore agreed with President Putin that we must share our intelligence so that we can act in coordination. We must not contradict ourselves. And it's already the case, and we will continue to do so.
Shortly after the incident, Turkey called for an emergency meeting with its NATO allies. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg held a press conference after that meeting, which ended late Tuesday, shortly after the U.S. and French presidents held their press conference.
The North Atlantic Council has just held a meeting, an extraordinary meeting, and we have been updated by the Turkish ambassadors on the recent events. I've also spoken to Prime Minister Ahmet Davutoglu. Turkey informed allies about the downing of a Russian Air Force plane violating Turkish airspace. I have previously expressed my concerns about the implications of the military actions of the Russian Federation close to NATO borders. This highlights the importance of having and respecting arrangements to avoid such incidents in the future. As we have repeatedly made clear, we stand in solidarity with Turkey and support the territorial integrity of our NATO ally, Turkey. We will continue to follow the developments on the southeastern borders of NATO very closely. I look forward to further contacts between Ankara and Moscow, and I call for calm and de-escalation. Diplomacy and de-escalation are important to resolve this situation. So then I'm ready to take your questions.
So do you believe the Russians are saying that the plane was actually shot down over Syrian territory and never went into Turkish territory? Are you convinced that it was shot down indeed over Turkish airspace and that Turkish airspace was indeed violated?
The Allied assessments we have got from several allies during the day are consistent with the information we have been provided with from Turkey. So the information we have from other allies is consistent with what we have got from Turkey.
My name is Tanar Şinu. I'm from Kurdish Media Network, Rodeo. Mr. Stoltenberg, how could be the situation and your position if the tension between Russia and Turkey raised? You said that you are continue looking at the development. How could be your position if the tension raised between Russia and Turkey?
I think I've expressed very clearly that what we are calling for now is calm and de-escalation. This is a serious situation. This is a situation which calls on that we all are prudent and that we all contribute to de-escalating the situation. And that's also the reason why I welcome further contacts between Moscow and Ankara. There has been contacts, and we would welcome even more contacts to partly to resolve this concrete incident, but also to continue to work on the development and also the strengthening of mechanisms to avoid these kind of situations in the future. And actually, inside the alliance, we are now discussing how we can develop better and improved measures for transparency, for predictability, and for risk reduction, because we have to avoid this kind of incidents. We have to avoid that situations, incidents, accidents spiral out of control. And therefore, this is a serious situation, but I think that the whole new security environment we are facing along NATO borders just underlines the importance of focusing more on predictability, transparency, and different measures to reduce risks.
Mr. Secretary General, what does this say about the ability for allies to work together with Russia in Syria? Are the tactics just too different? Are the targets just too different?
The common enemy should be ISIL, and I would welcome all efforts to fight ISIL. And it is important that all of us, also Russia, is guided by the overarching goal of defeating ISIL. What we have seen is that most of the attacks by Russia so far has been targeted towards targets in parts of Syria where ISIL is not present. So we welcome all efforts to fight ISIL, and our common enemy is ISIL, and therefore I would also welcome all efforts to strengthen the fight against ISIL.
Robin Emmett from Reuters. I wondered if you'd had any contact with the Russians or you planned any contact with the Russians over this incident. Thank you.
There has been contacts between Ankara and Moscow, Turkey and Russia, but so far there has been no direct contact between NATO and Russia, but we have been in contact with Turkey, a NATO ally, which has been directly in contact with Russian authorities.
Sorry, do you have any more clarity as to how the plane was actually shot down? Because that's disputed, whether it be surface-to-surface or a surface-to-air or ground-to-air missile. Air-to-air or ground-to-air missile.
I will be careful going too much into specifics and too much into details, but what I can confirm is that the assessments we have from allies are consistent with what Turkey briefed us about earlier today.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.